The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the program today, we have the director of The Chorale, a choral ensemble based in Champaign, Urbana, Julie Byler, and also several of the young artists who are winning scholarships this year. And one of them will be performing, and all will be appearing at the concert this Saturday at Faith United Methodist Church. It's their annual Young Artist Scholarship Concert called A Musical Tribute to the Gift of Song. That's a 7 o'clock free program. And we'll be hearing from Julie about that concert. We'll be hearing one of the pieces that's going to be on the show, and also some live performances by those young artists in our studio. Stay with us. Our broadcast today on FM 90.9 is made possible by a grant from the Meredith Foundation, dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation.
Thank you.
We just heard The Chorale, based in Champaign-Urbana. This is my song, Lloyd Stone and Georgia Harkness's adaptation of the tune known as Finlandia by Jean Sibelius, arrangement by Douglas Wagner, and conducted by Julie Byler, who's the music director of The Chorale. They are going to be giving their annual Young Artist Scholarship Concert, this year called A Musical Tribute to the Gift of Song, on Saturday at 7 o'clock at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. It's a free program. And the Young Artist Scholarship Concert, of course, implies that there are some young artists involved, and indeed there are several. And we've got, I think, all of them with us, almost all of them with us in the studio right now. And we'll hear some of them playing live, and we'll hear some audition tapes that they submitted in order to get this Young Artist Scholarship. We'll introduce them as we go. But first, let's introduce Julie Byler, who is, of course, with us in the studio as well. Thanks for coming in and organizing all these people. It took some effort a couple times around.
It's a crowd in here. We're glad to have everybody. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah. So you brought a special person along with you as well. This, I think you said, is the 20th year of the Young Artist Program?
It is. The Chorale itself is in its 28th season. But we didn't make any money for the first however many seasons, eight seasons, I guess you'd say.
Well, you keep not charging admission, so
it's part of our mission, actually, so it's a catch-22. Our point is to provide as much good choral music to the community as possible and to support music education. So we do one concert a year that for which we charge, and that's our New Year's Eve program at the Virginia. Our first New Year's Eve program was 1991. So in 1992, we had excess money, and I just didn't quite know how to go about doing it, but I knew I wanted to provide opportunities for young musicians. So I went to my friend Willie Somerville at Urbana High School and said, help me do this. So he very kindly, the first couple years, groomed several students that he thought would be good candidates for this scholarship. And that's how the program began. So yes, indeed, Willie is here and very special.
Yeah, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
So how did you identify those initial people?
Number one, these were students who were have been above average in vocal music even before they got to 12th grade. I mean, they were just in a class all by themselves. They were mostly section leaders. The first one, Ian Tatum, who's now an assistant principal at the Stratton Elementary School, was one of those gifted young men that could sing the A above the staff in his natural voice. So he was a true tenor, a real true tenor. And
that's pretty high for a high school kid.
Absolutely. But we had several that was above average like that. So, and I would tell the students at the beginning of the year, there are things that await you when you get ready to graduate. You can prepare yourself to enter these contests or what have you, even Allstate and those kind of things. We encourage that. So this student just stood out above all of the ones. And that was my first year there because I used to teach in the middle school and the elementary schools exclusively. But I was at the high school from 1990 till 2005 when I retired.
And how long were you in the middle school program?
Wow. I started at Brookings in 1970 till 1980, and I went from 1980 to 1990 with the high school. And many people don't know that I started really in Champaign in 1967.
No.
Yes.
Champaign.
Champaign, very good school district, right?
Well, so it's fine.
All my children.
You exited to the right town there.
Well, I like both towns.
30 years.
No, when I retired, I had been in 35 and a half years because even my research project I did in 1966 was a full semester with the late Dr. Thomas.
When I was 5 years old. I just had to throw that in. I'm terribly sorry.
I'm glad to be alive.
That's okay. I just turned 50 a little bit ago, and I just can't even believe it. Yeah, I know. Willie Somerville. And then, Julie, at what point did... the initial one sounds like it was kind of a pre-selection. At what point did you go to auditioning?
Well, it was Willie's pre-selection, right. But they all auditioned. So they went through the same process that we do. We have an audition, and then we have a little short interview, which I like to say is my favorite part because we get to know these young people a little bit, as much as you can in 15 minutes or so, but they're sometimes more relaxed after the audition is over, and they can sit and talk and tell us about their plans. And so that they went through the audition process as well.
And the interview does have bearing on who wins or not.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's as insofar as you get to know a person and you know the dedication and the preparation and the depth of their music devotion, of course it plays a part. If they're just there to, you know, if they have one or two pieces in their musical repertoire and that's it, you know that probably it's not been a passion for them for a great long time. So in that sense, yes, it enters into it.
Well, like with the Miss America pageant, you know, if you have somebody who's gorgeous and has talent but can't talk their way out of a bag, you know, then that might be a problem.
Yeah, I think it's more interesting to me to find out how music came into their lives, what portion of their lives they spend on their music. I've often been known to ask, how much do you practice? Where do you get your music? Several of the people in this room claim to not have gotten it from their parents, but often we know it skips generations. And even though they didn't get their musical ability from their parents, we know how important parents and teachers are in the lives of these kids as they prepare to take this journey.
Well, let me ask the first young artist that we're going to hear on the program today. We're actually going to hear from her audition CD, Catherine Flos, and she's also the person I know the best here because Catherine has played in the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, which I conduct for how long? Like 5 years?
Yeah, I think so.
5 years? And you're a senior now?
Mm-hmm.
And the orchestra had the opportunity just a bit ago to play alongside the Champaign-Urbana Symphony in Dvorak's New World Symphony, and some of the woodwind principles of the CU Symphony gave our principals, youth orchestra principals, the chance to play some of the solos. And in a case, your principal gave you almost all the solos in this piece, and I went very public with this, well, semi-public with this regarding the to the youth orchestra mailing list, but I'm going to make it extremely public now. She did an absolutely fantastic job. You know, she was very poised, and I was very proud of her. So how did you answer the question if you were asked how much you practice and where'd you get your talent?
Well, I'll start with the easier one, which is where I got into music. And I definitely say that for me it came from my parents, because neither of my parents actually play an instrument, but both of them were very involved in music. And from a very early time, we would go to the Crane Art Center and I would attend concerts. And actually, I remember my first concert was, I don't know how old I was, but we went to see the Messiah, Handel's Messiah, and it was the entire Messiah, and we had front row seats. And so the entire time, I know my mother was very nervous that we were going to make noise, because I think I was about 5 years old at the time. But I was just, I really enjoyed that. And from very early on, I have always enjoyed listening to music. And so then playing it sort of seemed like a natural progression in some senses. And as for how much I practice, I don't know. It depends on how much homework I have sometimes.
Well, and you go to University of Labrador High School, so I'm pretty sure you have a lot of homework.
Well, it depends.
You don't have certain math teachers then if it depends. I heard there's a few of those math teachers there that just pile it on.
No.
Yes?
I guess so.
What are your special academic strengths?
I don't know. I enjoy everything. So, I mean, I don't know. This year, I think...
Can't commit. That's fine. But I just heard that you're going off to Columbia University mm-hmm. in the fall. Yeah. What are you going to be studying there?
Well, I'm planning to maybe do a human rights concentration and then also a music concentration. But I don't know what I want to major in. I've been looking at maybe economics. So
you don't have to decide there for a while?
Not for 2 years.
Well, that's good. That's healthy, it seems to me. Well, let's hear Catherine from her audition CD playing we'll hear the first portion of the concertino for clarinet and piano in this case, also originally for orchestra, by Carl Maria von Weber. Who's your pianist in the recording?
Rick Murphy,
who's your teacher at Uni High. Catherine Flos, clarinetist, who is one of the Young Artist Scholarship winners for the chorale. And she's going to be featured, along with the others that we'll meet shortly, on their concert on Saturday at 7 o'clock, Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign.
Thank you.
That was clarinetist Catherine Flos, along with pianist Rick Murphy, in a portion of the concertino for clarinet by Carl Maria von Weber. Catherine was one of the Young Artist Scholarship winners for the Chorale, the ensemble, vocal ensemble based in Champaign under the direction of Julie Byler. They're going to be giving their annual Young Artist Scholarship Concert, a musical tribute to the gift of song, on Saturday at 7 o'clock, a free program at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. And we'll be hearing from some of the other winners on that concert in a few minutes as we go, but we'll also be hearing more from the chorale. And Julie actually corrected my statement a bit ago as to who's actually going to be performing on this concert. All the young artists will be there to be presented their awards, but two performers, and one of whom isn't here, and then an adult performer who's a very fine singer.
Oh, you might get into trouble with that, you know.
I don't think that Liz would mind being called an adult.
When we're planning our programs, we never know how many applicants we're going to have, first of all. And then, of course, we don't know how many winners there are going to be. So we choose a program that we think will stand on its own. And then this year, as in about the last 3 or 4 years, we've been just really blessed by having a lot of good talent. So what we have done in the past and what we will do now is invite them back to perform at future concerts. That's the way otherwise we'd all be there for about 3 hours. So that's our chosen way of doing it. And so St. John Kelly will be the performer from this year's winners at this particular concert. But we have our fingers on where we can get a hold of all the rest of them so that we know we can invite them back for future concerts. And our returning student, which is also our policy, to stay in touch with these kids during their undergraduate and sometimes their graduate years, is to invite them back to play. And in this case, it will be Emmalinda Escobar, violinist, who's studying here at the university. And so she'll be performing, as will Elizabeth Buckley, who has become a good friend of ours, a doctorate in musical performance, and making her way, flying hither and thither to various auditions throughout the country, trying to establish herself, fine mezzo-soprano.
Yeah, very fine indeed. And do you know what Liz is going to be doing on the program?
Yes, she's actually going to sing the mezzo-soprano solo, Death Be Not Proud, in the Ellingbo Requiem, which is the major work that we're doing on this program. And then she will also sing the fifth movement of the Dorifley Requiem, which is the PAA.
Oh, suit. That's a gorgeous
yes,
piece.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely
yeah.
Gorgeous. And we're now in May of 2011. We are in May of 2011. And unbelievably, and on Saturday is the annual concert for paying tribute to the young artists by the chorale every year. And we have our next one at the piano right now, who is who Julie Byler mentioned just a bit ago, St. John Kelly. And he's going to be performing two pieces on the program. I think we're just going to hear one of them now.
We're saving something for
him. We've got to say something. That's
he is
right.
Not only a pianist, but a composer as well.
Which so. we're gonna find out about. And St. John, I think Julie told me that you're one of how many children?
18.
18. And where do you fit into that?
I'm the 16th born.
Not many people in this world can say something like that. And does that make you, you know, among the brats of the family? Because traditionally, you know, the really young ones can get away with anything and everything. Has that been true for you?
Not necessarily.
Your dad is listening to this. I know. He's out in the lobby. So,
imagine the competition for the piano. That's what I want to know.
Well, how many of your family are musicians?
Well, mostly all of them, but not all of them have been trained or have taken lessons. So I think it's about 9 who have actually taken lessons.
And what kind of instruments are covered by your family?
My oldest brother, Jewel, he plays the piano, and Stephen is a professional pianist and he teaches at North Park. Other than that, everyone just sort of backed off from music. But they're all of them sing, and we sing at several churches and stuff like that.
Do you ever sing as a family?
Yeah, we sing as a family.
And what do you call yourselves?
Just the Kelly family.
Oh, see, I'm part of the Kelly family. but we only had 5 kids. I was the first of 5. So we're topped, 18. There was a kid I remember when I was in high school named Emery Etter, and he was the first of 12. And I remember they told his mother that if she had one more, she could die. She went on and had number 13, and she was just fine. So, your mom's around. Yeah, okay, good. She's in good shape. And your teacher is in this room.
Yes.
What do you study with Mr. Somerville? Do you study piano and voice?
Just piano performance.
And what kind of a student has he been, Mr. Somerville?
He's in the top 5 out of the 44 years I've been teaching.
Wow. That's impressive. What makes him... What puts him up there in your mind?
His desire to reach for excellence. I mean, he's the type that I didn't have to wonder, was your lesson prepared? His lesson was prepared, and he also is very good with reading, and he's very, very good with improvisation. And I told him that it's one good thing about a male pianist, and that is they can be just as strong, yet just as tender with the music, and he's a great interpreter of that. So he's been, as I said, in the top 5.
I can think of some female pianists who might take exception with that generalization, but we'll let that pass for St. John.
A woman gave me that analogy.
Oh, really?
A female gave me that analogy. That's not my own thing.
You're covered there.
Yeah,
You're covered. So when did you start writing music? Because I think we're going to hear a piece of yours right now.
When I was 14, the moment I began composing was when I actually began to appreciate music. And one day I was listening to a CD in my dad's car, and it was playing Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 5. And up to that point, I hadn't really appreciated classical music. And when I heard that, I was deeply affected by it, and I kept on playing it over and over and kept on. And then soon after, I started trying to imitate Mozart. And I didn't necessarily do a very good job, but it started my love for composing. And after that, one of the pieces I wrote, my brother heard it, and he was saying, "Do you like Chopin?" Because he had noticed that one portion of the piece was similar. And at that point, I didn't even know any Chopin's work. So after he said that, I looked Chopin up, and of course, at that point, he became my favorite composer. And ever since then, I just sort of branched off and started listening to Borodin and Rachmaninoff, Grieg. And ever since then, I don't necessarily have a favorite composer.
But you are nonetheless playing Chopin on the concert on Saturday.
Yes.
But we're not going to give that away right now. What are we going to give away right now?
The piece I wrote called The Evanescence of Earth Dwelling.
And you have to explain that title.
Yes, as I was composing the piece, those were the themes that kept rushing through my head, how life was so short and how in some instances life was real peaceful, and then in other instances it's rather sad and you want to meditate more. And it's a very short piece, and that's why I named it. And it really... the motifs to me resembles the shortness of life.
Yeah, it doesn't last too long, does it, in the scheme of things? The Evanescence of...
Earth Dwelling.
Earth Dwelling by St. John Kelly, who's going to play it for us live in our studio on Live and Local. Thank you. The Evanescence of Earth Dwelling, the name of the piece, written and composed, composed and performed by St. John Kelly right here in our studio. Well, I should clarify that. He played it in the studio. He didn't compose it in the studio. Although I wonder how much of your compositions is improvisational. Anything?
Well, when I start composing it, I just like to fix a definite thought. So most of the beginning is improvisation. But then as I go on, I start to develop a definite form and more rounded theme.
And eventually you actually write it down or you just leave it in your head?
Most I have written down, but not all of them.
And this one?
This one has not been written down yet.
I noticed you weren't actually reading anything. Or if you are, it's a completely different piece because I know what's in front of you on the stand and it's something that we're going to hear a little later. St. John Kelly here on Live and Local. He's going to be playing that piece and some music by Chopin on Saturday at the Young Artist Scholarship Concert by the Chorale under the direction of Julie Byler. It's going to be at 7 o'clock at Faith United Methodist Church. And this is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Julie, you mentioned briefly a piece that mezzo-soprano Elizabeth Buckley is going to be featured in, but of course it's a much larger piece than the one movement. It's one I don't know anything about, although I've heard this composer's name. That's it, Bradley Ellingbow, his Requiem. Who is Mr. Ellingbow, and how did you choose this piece?
Bradley Ellingbow is a graduate, undergraduate of St. Olaf, and then he went on to Eastman School of Music. He's presently on the faculty at the University of New Mexico, where he's the director of choral activities there. This piece, Requiem, was written in 2002, premiered then, and has had its Carnegie Hall debut. I like to call it a very user-friendly requiem, and of a lighter nature. That is to say, it's not Mozart and it's not Verdi in the sense that it doesn't have the angst and the dies irae movements and so forth. It is a 10-movement work, but they are generally short movements. And he uses text from the Latin Mass. He uses text from the Bible, from the Psalms, for instance. He uses the poetry of John Donne and George Herbert. So it's an eclectic mix, but very, it's something you might leave humming, as opposed to some of those that you might not. Very tuneful. Elizabeth's piece is Death Be Not Proud, and it's about in the middle of the Requiem.
That's a John Donne.
Yes, correct.
It?
Yeah. So it's not all in Latin. It's not all one faceted. It's a wonderful piece. And how did I choose it? When we were out in Utah last summer with Dr. Jessup for a week of performance and rehearsals. Craig Jessup, sorry.
Who was with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
And now is at Utah State University as the new dean of a brand new school, Kane School of Arts. At any rate, one of the choir directors there suggested to me that I might take a look at this piece, that his choir did it once, and now they're requesting that they do it every year at Easter time. And it's that popular with the singers. It's something they can latch on to, and yet not... It has its challenges, so it's really quite a lovely piece. We'll be doing it with small ensemble, organ, harp, flute, oboe, percussion, and I think it will be well received.
Well, let's hear a sample of it. This is a performance by the Augustana Choir at Augustana College.
Mm-hmm.
James R. Johnson is the conductor here, and this is the fifth movement, setting of the Lord's Prayer. Bradley Ellingbow from his Requiem here on Live and Local. The fifth movement of Bradley Ellingbow's Requiem, it's the Lord's Prayer, setting thereof. The Augustana Choir in this performance, led by Dr. James R. Johnson. And you can hear the complete requiem performed by the chorale in Champaign Saturday evening under the direction of Julie Byler at Faith United Methodist Church. That is the big centerpiece to a program, Julie, that includes also what, besides our young artist?
Well, we're singing five other numbers in a similar vein. The Franz Biebel Ave Maria, which is a favorite of ours, and two of Mort Lauridsen's pieces, O Magnum Mysterium and Sure on This Shining Night. And then, I guess you would say, keeping the light theme, singing Mack Wilberg's O Light of Life. And then we'll close with the piece that was made famous during the Chris Johnson years at St. Olaf, O Day Full of Grace.
It's a nice program. And Musical Tribute to the Gift of Song is the name of the piece, and that's appropriate introduction to our next performer, who is one of the Young Artist winners. And in fact, she was on this show just a few weeks ago, because she is going to give her last performance tonight in the at the Station Theater in Urbana. The Celebration Company there has been putting on the musical The Light in the Piazza, and we had them featured. And so there are three other performances of that tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. This is your last one, so your understudy, so to speak, is doing the other performance.
Yes, we closed April 30th, so last Thursday would have been my last performance. That was a very, very good experience for me to have this year. That was a nice way to go out my senior year.
Oh, that's right, of course. Right, that was Thursday already. Thank you for... I'm getting my dates all mixed up here. What are you going to do for us right now?
I will be singing Willow Song from Ballad of Baby Doe.
And that itself is an opera? Or is it a musical? Or what is it?
It's a musical, but it's
more along the lines of the Kurt Weill one-act operas down in the valley, that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Okay. The Willow Song with Brenna Pfeiffer and her accompanist is also one of her music teachers, Laurie Giesman at St. Joseph. Are you at the high school, Laurie?
Retired.
You're retired?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's a whole long story. I hadn't known Laurie for a long, long time. Known her kids, been in the youth orchestra, and they're all grown up and got doctorates and all this other thing. So, this will be my first time ever hearing you perform. The pressure's on.
Yeah.
Laurie Giesman and Brenna Pfeiffer here on Live and Local.
Collect connection fatal of the word that was spoken nevermore. Oh, Willow, where we met together. Willow, when our love was new. Willow, if he once should be
We're hearing a lot of beautiful music on this show today. That was from The Ballad of Baby Doe, the Willow song sung by Brenna Pfeiffer with Laurie Giesman at the piano. And Brenna, one of those who will be honored on Saturday at the Young Artist Scholarship Concert by the Chorale at Faith United Methodist Church. And you're hearing them on Live and Local. And as our time gallops on here, we better get to the man who's been sitting very patiently through all of this. Is Jeremy Louie. I seem to have connections with all of just about everybody here, because your brother used to play in the youth orchestra. Brenna, I met when you did Les Miserables with the Champagne Romantic Theater Company. That was a while ago, incredibly. And so, Jeremy, you're a sax player.
Yes, indeed.
And your brother was an oboist, if I remember.
Yes, he was. He also played piano.
And are you classical sax, jazz sax, both?
Technically, I play both. I really enjoy listening to jazz, but I do prefer playing classical.
Who are you taking lessons from?
I currently study with Kim Breen.
Is she a graduate student or?
No, she is a former band director.
Yeah, and so what are you thinking about doing with the sax as your future progresses?
Well, the funny thing is that had you asked me 4 years ago what I was going to do in college, I almost certainly would not have named music, and I probably would have answered something along the lines of, I'm not sure what I want to do, but I know I don't want to be a teacher.
Ooh, and, okay. Mr. Somerville might want to know, why would you say that?
And so what's funny is that about 2.5 years ago, I realized, man, I really like this stuff. I kind of want to teach music. And now there's not a doubt in my mind that this is what I want to do, that I want to study music education and become a music teacher.
And what year are you in school now?
I'm a senior.
So you're going to be headed off somewhere in the fall?
I'll be at the University of Illinois this fall.
Study music education.
Yes.
And we have your audition CD with us here. Who's the composer we're going to be hearing, and what is the piece?
This is the Sonata for Alto Saxophone and Piano. This is just the first movement. It's by Lawson Lund. It's a 20th century saxophone piece. It is unusual, I guess, to most people in that it is classical saxophone. Most people are only familiar with the jazz side of things, but there is a reasonable amount of classical saxophone literature.
There's quite a bit of it, actually. Yeah. A lot of it out of the French school.
Yes, and this also is French.
And who's your pianist?
My accompanist is actually my father, Michael Louie, who I must thank for learning all these strange French pieces that we perform.
Well, with apologies to your dad, I don't think I knew that he played piano.
No, I've been very fortunate to have an in-house accompanist.
I had one too. My mom was always played for me. That's very convenient and it's cheap.
Yes.
Here's Jeremy.
Yes and no.
Yeah. Here's Jeremy Louie and his dad, Michael Lawson Lunds. Piece for sax on Live and Local. by Lawson Lund for saxophone and piano, performed by Jeremy Louis on the saxophone with his dad, Michael Louis, at the piano. And Jeremy is one of the Young Artist Scholarship winners for the chorale. The chorale giving their spring concert on Saturday evening at Faith United Methodist Church under the direction of Julie Byler. Wonderful program that will feature St. John Kelly performing live at that, one of the Young Artist winners. The other Young Artists will also be receiving their scholarships at that point. And a former Young Artist winner. Are you ever former? You're not really a former Young Artist winner.
We call them alumni, I think.
Alumni. Emmalinda Escobar going to be playing violin on that program, and then also featuring mezzo-soprano Elizabeth Buckley in the Ellingbow Requiem and some music of Maurice Durufly. I want to say thanks to everybody who's come in, and Julie has a...
Well, I needed to say that we did have a full studio this morning, except one of our winners, who isn't with us, is Nicholas Beckett, who's in high school in Danville this morning, and he, too, is a jazz sax player, or I should say a sax player, and focuses on jazz. So we were inundated with woodwinds.
And we're going to go out with Dave Brubeck's tune, made famous by Brubeck's band. Jeremy informed us there was actually a composition by...
Paul Desmond,
who's in Dave Brubeck's quintet, and this is called Take Five.
And by Nick Beckett.
With Nick Beckett on the saxophone, and it's live and local on FM 90.9. Listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program is made possible with support from Krannert Art Museum, presenting a spring luncheon and lecture, Being Into Meaning, Building a University Art Museum by Giselle Atterbury, beginning at noon this Friday at the Champaign Country Club. Reservations are required. More information is available at 244-0516. And we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. Quick look at some other events going on in our listening area. The Millikan Jazz Bash is at Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Decatur tonight at 6 o'clock. Tomorrow, it's Sarah McQuaid, Irish-American singer-songwriter on the Piper's Hut Concert Series at the Independent Media Center in Urbana, tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. And in fact, she will be playing for us live on tomorrow's Live and Local during the noon hour. University of Illinois Opera Studio performs at the Krannert Center in Urbana tonight at 7:30 and also tomorrow evening at 7:30. U of I Jazz Band 4 is at the Krannert Center tonight at 7:30. The Traditional Jazz Orchestra is at the Iron Post tomorrow night. Did I say tonight at 7:30? Those two Krannert events are tomorrow evening at 7:30. Traditional Jazz Orchestra is at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tomorrow evening at 5, followed by the CU Hard Bop Collective tomorrow evening at 9:30. The Danville Symphony Orchestra, well, that's not a public concert. We'll leave that off. Danville Symphony, however, will be giving its public concert this weekend. Or no, I guess that was last weekend. Sorry, getting things mixed up. Sarah Lee Guthrie and Johnny Irion give a program called Go Wagaloo at Urbana Free Library tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYNL-FM, and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators, W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. In addition to Sarah McQuaid on tomorrow's Live and Local, we'll be having members of the production by Champaign Central High School of the musical Putnam County Spelling Bee. That's on tomorrow's show from 12 to 1. Hope you can join us. I'm Kevin Kelly, wishing you a great day.